All right, let's 7 p.m. Let's get started. Welcome everybody. I'll call this meeting to order. This meeting is being held in compliance with the open public meeting law and that the requirements of the law have been met with the posting of the meeting notice on the municipal bulletin board filed with the borough clerk and forwarded to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Would all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Ms. McCoy, if you'd call the roll, please.
Mayor Longo.
Here.
Councilman Lopez.
Here.
Councilman Petty is absent. Councilwoman Bershevik.
Here.
Councilman Rossi.
Here.
Councilman Garrett advised he would be late. Councilman Morris.
Here.
Okay, approval of the minutes from April 9th, 2024, regular meeting. I need a motion.
Motion.
A second?
Second.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Bershevik.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
Councilman Rossi.
Yes.
Councilman Morris.
Yes.
Very good. The April 9th, 2024 executive session minutes. I need a motion.
Motion.
A second?
Second.
A roll call.
Councilwoman Bershevik.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
Councilman Rossi.
Yes.
Councilman Morris.
Yes.
All right, very good. Our first item of business is the Special Improvement District 2024 budget. I believe someone's here from there. Welcome.
I would have had to set it up beforehand, sorry. Okay.
All right, so thank you so much for giving us the DDRT the opportunity to come up and chat with you about our budget this year. I do understand that you guys have received a copy of our budget and a little bit about the background of the expenses for this year. So before we get into the numbers, I would like to highlight some of our accomplishments from 2023 and talk about some of our strategic goals for 2024 and really talk about how these align with our budgetary considerations. So in 2023, we really made a focus on really providing a service to the business community and kind of restaking our claim as the go-to, whenever they needed anything within the district. And so we really made it a point to engage with the community. We began hosting quarterly public meetings, which created a platform for open dialogue and transparency between the BBRP and the community that we serve. These sessions have allowed us to better understand and address the needs of our stakeholders. We had just had one of those public meetings last week, and I thank some of our council members and our mayor who took the time to come out to the meeting and chat with some of those business owners who came out. We focused on some operational improvements. We conducted a thorough review of our policies and procedures, resulting in the creation and adoption of a comprehensive policy manual for our staff. Further, we updated our bylaws to ensure more streamlined and effective governance, reinforcing our commitment to operational excellence. To improve our financial oversight, we updated our finance policies to bring bill payments in-house. This move, coupled with the hiring of a dedicated bookkeeper and transitioning 2 years worth of finances to QuickBooks, has significantly enhanced our financial transparency and efficiency. In addition to these operational advancements, we celebrated our community through engaging events, many of which drew remarkable attendance. So just to name a few, we hosted 4 movies in Billion Legion Park. We hosted our fall festival and Halloween event, which attracted more than 2,000 visitors, highlighting local talent and fostering a community spirit. Our holiday tree lighting, again, drew over 2,500 visitors, making it a highlight of our seasonal celebrations. And so these initiatives not only enriched our community life, but they also bolstered local businesses and enhanced our district's appeal. So looking ahead, We're poised to build on this momentum with some goals that require careful planning and some targeted investment. So first and foremost, we're working on a storefront and facade improvement program. So we're going to be working with experts to develop tailored recommendations for improving district storefronts, enhancing both aesthetic appeal and functional utility. We've already started working on that. We actually have a workshop that's scheduled to take place on Tuesday with Storefront Mastery. Storefront Mastery is going to be working not just with our district businesses, but with property owners to talk about facade improvements and also window storefronts and how to market your business in a way that's going to attract more foot traffic. We're also focused on marketing innovations. So the creation of a business recruitment and marketing deck and video package is already in process. It's planned to attract and inform potential new businesses about the opportunities within our district. We also plan on focusing on a bit of strategic planning. So we plan on updating our strategic plan, incorporating a 5-year visioning process to guide our actions and ensure alignment with the long-term community needs. And that strategic planning process is going to engage not just business owners, but property owners, and hopefully some of our council members as well, to ensure that all of our goals align. We're focusing on business recruitment and support. So we're going to be establishing a rubric for a business recruitment program and enhance our events strategy. And so we're doing this not only to attract new businesses, but also provide them with the support that they need to thrive. We also plan on working with partners to strengthen the entrepreneurial ecosystem to position us to attract new and innovative businesses. So with all the development that's happening downtown, you know, one of the things that we need to focus on is how we position ourselves, right, with the identity that we have that's really going to draw new businesses into the district. So that is going to be a major focus in 2024. And then finally, we're working on educational initiatives. So the BBRP Small Business Skills Incubator is going to offer quarterly or bi-monthly workshops in both English and Spanish, equipping local entrepreneurs with essential skills that they need to succeed in a competitive market. So the budget that we're proposing today is designed to fund these initiatives, ensuring that the BBRP continues to serve as a catalyst for economic growth and community development. So each dollar invested in our budget is a step towards a more vibrant, dynamic, and prosperous downtown Bound Brook. So when we start our budget, we start with a projection of our revenue. So we do have a carryover from unfinished projects from last year. So because the 2023 budget was approved a little late in the year, there were some projects that remained unfinished, including economic development, marketing, and administrative initiatives. So these funds are carrying over into our 2024 budget as these projects are executed and move through the pipeline. So we are anticipating a projected assessment revenue of approximately $275,000. Assessment revenue of $245,000. And between donations, fundraising and sponsorships, and some small grants that we applied for with the county, we are anticipating an additional $30,000, making our projected revenue $275,000. That plus our carryover, $355,000. So now let's talk about some of those major expenditures and why they're so important to the BBRP budget. So the first section that we look at in that budget spreadsheet is our streetscape support and service category, which is, when you look at the pie chart of our budget, which unfortunately you all can't see, but it does take up the major piece of the pie. And so this is vital to the BBRP as it plays a crucial role in enhancing the aesthetic appeal and functionality of our district. So by investing in beautification efforts like landscaping, street cleaning, and maintenance, we create a welcoming and attractive environment for residents, visitors, and businesses alike. A well-maintained streetscape not only boosts the overall image of our district, but it also encourages foot traffic and stimulates economic activity. Studies have shown that well-designed and maintained public spaces can increase property values and attract new businesses, thus contributing to the economic growth of our small businesses in Bound Brook. Moreover, a vibrant streetscape fosters a sense of community pride and encourages local entrepreneurship, further bolstering our local economic vitality. So some of the investments we're talking about making this year are not just plantings and street cleaning, but we're also talking about some local arts initiatives, some additional mural programs that we know are going to make the district more vibrant. The second category that we're looking at is special events and event advertising. And so special events and event advertising are integral components of the BBRP's efforts to promote community engagement and drive foot traffic to the district. So by organizing events like festivals, markets, and cultural celebrations, we create opportunities for local businesses to showcase their products and services, attract new customers, and increase sales. These events not only generate immediate revenue for businesses, but also contribute to the overall vibrancy and vitality of the district, making it a desirable destination for both residents and visitors. And we know that's important because with the apartments that are going up in town, right, we want people to want to live here. So additionally, effective event advertising ensures that our initiatives reach a wider audience, thereby maximizing the participation and amplifying the economic impact on our small businesses. Some of the events that our board has talked about for this year include a vendor event coming up now June 9th, a music series called Rhythm on the Rails, our annual movies in Billion Legion Park, our annual River Fest, the Battles and Brews, which just took place recently, which drew a record crowd. We had almost 90 folks sign up for the event. We're working on a fall festival again for this year, our Halloween event, a tree lighting, and a Hispanic Heritage Month celebration, among some other micro events. So the next item in our budget that we look at is PR, marketing, and advertising. And so this section of our budget comes together with some proposals that we've gotten in from local advertisers like NJ.com, Tap Into, and the Courier News. So public relations, marketing, and advertising are essential tools for the BBRP to effectively communicate our mission, initiatives, and the unique offerings of our district to the community and beyond. So through strategic branding, messaging, and promotional campaigns, we can raise awareness, generate interest, and drive patronage to our local businesses. And by highlighting the diverse array of shops, restaurants, and services available in Bound Brook, we not only support individual businesses, but also cultivate a distinct identity for our district, making it a destination of choice for customers. So next we talk about economic vitality, right? Because that is what this is all about. That's why we exist, right? To sustain the economic vitality of the Special Improvement District. And so in this area of the budget, we're looking at things like merchant seminars, data collection efforts, strategic planning, which are instrumental in equipping our local businesses with the knowledge, resources, and insights that they need to thrive in a competitive competitive marketplace. So by offering educational workshops, training sessions, and networking opportunities, we're empowering our merchants with the skills that they need to enhance their operations, improve customer experiences, and drive profitability. Furthermore, looking at data collection, this enables us to better understand market trends, consumer preferences, and business needs, allowing us to tailor our support services and initiatives to effectively meet the evolving demands of our local economy. So next, we talk about our staff and management category. We were really lucky last year to bring on a full-time bilingual assistant downtown manager who has really made it her mission to go out and walk the streets and connect with business owners. And so the dedicated staff and effective management of the BBRP are essential for the successful execution of our revitalization efforts and the support of small businesses in our district. Our team works hard to coordinate initiatives, provide assistance to merchants, engage stakeholders, and foster collaboration among community partners. So by investing in our staff's development, training, and retention, we ensure that our organization remains responsive, adaptable, and capable of delivering high-quality services to meet the evolving needs of our district. And then finally, we talk about office support. Office support really functions as the backbone of the BBRP, providing essential administrative and operational assistance that enables our organization to function efficiently and effectively. So from managing finances to maintaining records to coordinating meetings and facilitating communications, office support ensures that our day-to-day operations run smoothly and our resources are effectively utilized. So by investing in this office support, we optimize productivity, enhance our organization's effectiveness, and free up valuable time and resources that can be redirected towards supporting small businesses and driving economic growth in our district. So each of these categories really plays a crucial role in supporting the Bound Brook Revitalization Partnership as an organization and driving economic growth for the small businesses in the Bound Brook Special Improvement District. So through strategic investments in landscape and streetscape support, special events and event advertising, public relations, marketing and advertising, economic vitality, and so on and so forth, the BBRP is committed to fostering vibrant and prosperous commercial ecosystem that benefits our entire community. I thank council and the mayor for your continued support. I hope that this year together will shape the future of Bound Brook, making it a thriving hub of activity, culture, and business innovation. I look forward to answering any of your questions at this time and hopefully having more fruitful discussions as we move through the year.
Thank you very much. Anyone from the public have a comment on the budget that was just presented? Hearing no one, I'll open to a motion to adopt the 2024 Special Improvement District budget in the amount of $355,000. Can I hear a motion?
Motion.
A second? No hearing, no second.
Second. I'd actually like to make a motion to the table.
All right, I think we'll vote on the motion for table. The table motion. Take it to the table motion. Okay. Do I get a second on it?
Second.
Can I ask why you're on the table?
Well, so you want to discuss it first?
Yeah.
No, we'll vote on it.
No, I think we're in a similar situation last year where we're kind of backing into the revenue based on an existing rate with the increase in the ratables. With an $80,000 surplus from the previous year and not having a ton of specifics of, we have very, very broad descriptions of what they're going to be spending. It seems to be an ever-increasing number, and I understand the majority of the assessment is paid by the larger, newer buildings. But I just don't know that if, and I understand there were some delays. I haven't heard of any specifics as for what the $80,000 carryover was for, what it was planned for, and why we would expect they would spend everything last year plus an additional $80,000. I also have a question. Did we approve a board for the current year?
Yes, without two members.
Was that something that was voted on, that they presented a board for the current year?
The existing board, their terms had not expired. There was only two positions that their terms expired.
Okay.
Plus the liaison position.
Well, yeah, the liaison, yeah. But that's a point.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's two additional members that have not been...
There's two vacancies, yeah.
Okay. Do they meet the minimum?
Yes.
Okay.
How many do you currently have?
So I can provide a list of current board members. We do not
call out for resumes to the board. The deadline for that is May 3rd.
Okay.
And so at that time, we'll be evaluating the resumes that come in to be able to fill those two vacancies. The vacancies are internal that expire. There are two board members that became ineligible to serve. One board member who moved out of the district, and the second board member was a developer, from what I understand, who not served, and who did not fulfill it.
Sure.
And so, you know, we are looking to fill those two vacancies as soon as possible because we did have a lot planned for 2024. I can certainly provide more detailed information. It was my understanding that that's why I was here today, was to answer any questions about the items in the budget.
Okay.
Or the sections and categories of the budget that you may have questions about. And so, you know, obviously we can answer those if you have any specifics that I can address.
Well, because I also have a concern because I, with feedback from a number of the business owners down there, have not been contacted, have not been approached, have not been advised that there were public meetings, have not been advised that there were positions open for business owners and property owners. And, I mean, I think I've spoken to probably three, four, five different business owners, and that kind of seems to be what's happened with all of them. Also, my understanding is for last year's budget, we were going to hire a assistant downtown manager with the intent that you would train her to become a full-time manager, and that your role was to be basically partially the downtown, the executive director until the training was complete. But now, all of your expenses in economic vitality, none of it's in management.
So that was the same section of the budget that was in last year. And I was not brought on to be an executive director. I was brought on to be a downtown managing consultant.
Okay.
To establish the office and to make sure that the office was running efficiently. And that we did hire somebody that was bilingual, so she has been hired. I think part of the delay in some of the funding that's left over from last year was professional development and leadership training that we had planned for her that we could not execute. The Main Street Conference every year happens in May, and so the deadline to purchase tickets and to get her signed up for that is early April. And so with some of that overflow from last year, we were able to get her registered for that through this year.
Okay.
But that's just one of the things that we were not able to schedule on time for her.
Of course.
Because we didn't have any approval to execute some of those expenditures.
Which makes sense. I mean, I know the timing, you know.
Yeah.
I had a different seat than that was going on. But I understand that's 3,000 and the carryover is 80,000.
So that's,
I mean, again, out of most of what we do up here, this is mostly the only thing I understand based on what I do for a living. So, you know, that's why I told Dale I don't question EPW because I don't know what he does. But, yeah, that's what.
That's a $5,000 leadership training expense for
okay.
Because it includes travel, it includes accommodation, it includes conference registration,
sure.
And then there's a special fee for the leadership training. They do a workshop at Community Sports Bar Mastery. It's a $12,000 workshop. It's a two-part workshop, so
okay.
The first part involves the tour of the district as well as the tour of the state prepared and general recommendations. That was also something that was a carryover from last year.
Okay.
That actually started this year, and our plan with funding this year is to sponsor three districts to go through that storefront with the intensive workshop, which is $3,000 per business.
Okay. No, I mean, I just, you know, I want to see more results for the businesses in the district, whether it be restaurant week or, you know, promos where the budget's going to say, hey, we're going to pay for vouchers to go to encourage people to go to the businesses. I mean, I don't have little kids anymore. I would have loved movies in the park when they were younger, but that's all affiliated in Legion Park, and I don't think anybody, there's nothing coordinated with the businesses. So, I mean, a lot of these things are really good. It's just, I have a hard time thinking that $355,000 is needed. I mean, I could be wrong, and I'd love to be proven wrong. But that's just like I said, last year I felt the numbers were backed into. And this year we have a tax rate. The assessed values go up. Leaving the rate the same means we're just going to charge more. If we did that as a council, everybody, there'd be pitchforks and torches. Every year.
If you look at the numbers, Councilman, our assessment rate or our projected assessment revenue has not gone up from last year. So part of the revenue, or if it has gone up, it's gone up to be a couple thousand dollars. But the increase in revenue has to do with sponsorship, donations, and other methods, right, of generating revenue. So our plan certainly is not to increase the projected assessment revenue. As a matter of fact, Jazz and I met last week, and we were talking about the different assessment rates and how other towns actually have a fixed rate or not to exceed rate. Mm-hmm. And that way, as an organization, the district management corporation would know exactly how much assessment revenue they can be getting every year, and they know how to operate within the constraints of that, right? And so I believe the way that our ordinance is set up, it gives the organization the ability to kind of set a budget at whatever they would like, right? And then pass it on to you, and so long as council approves it, right, that's the tax rate that goes out. So it's not our intention to have an increased assessment revenue. We're actually trying to work within the constraints of the state, or not to go above, right, what we did last year in terms of projected assessment.
But the issue that I had was last year it went up to 230 from something like 160. It was a massive increase last year. There was a lot of discussion, and there was a lot of change and, delays, as you said. And we approved something that was a massive increase because the valuations and a new building came online. And so I understand that, the concept behind municipal budgeting is let's just at least get what we did last year. But I felt the increase last year was excessive, as evidenced by $80,000 leftover. If anybody,
Councilman, respectfully, I don't think that our budget was not approved. We had about 8 months to execute our budget. If we can't be expected to expend the entirety of our budget when we've missed a major opportunity, right, to actually get planning and business done early on in the year. And so I don't think it's unreasonable for us to have an $80,000, unexpended portion of our budget because we did not have it. We're kind of teetering on the same precipice this year. And so what we've been trying to do this year is really do some advanced planning so that we can effectively utilize those dollars. But if we continue to delay the approval of the budget, we're going to find ourselves in the same situation next year.
Yes. So from 2022 to 2023, it went from 159 to 244. So I think a lot of us were uncomfortable with that, but it got pushed through. So, the previous year there was a $20,000 carryover, so technically, if all the numbers worked out, only 60 of the 80 is the result of last year's being short. I mean.
Councilman, can I ask, is that the BDRP, doesn't control what properties are within the district, right? And so, If a property is within the special improvement district and they're subject to the special improvement tax, assessment, right, that increase in assessment revenue doesn't have to do with the BDRP asking for that money. It has to do with new development coming online. And so if that's a conversation that we can have, right, where we can say, there are other municipalities that have a tiered assessment system, right, that, properties within a certain boundary have a higher assessment than other properties within the district. That's something that we can certainly discuss, but, the increase in assessment revenue was not an increase because we asked for it.
No, I know.
It was an increased assessment because, Mayor and Council have decided what the boundaries of the district are, and if those developments come online, that that assessment revenue, right, should also serve those properties as well. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to build an organization that is robust enough to provide a value, not just to small mom-and-pop businesses, but to new developers, new property owners who are coming into the district. Because those property owners, as they seek to attract residents that are going to live in their buildings, people aren't going to want to come here and live here if they don't have a downtown that is going to sustain them living here, right? The data doesn't lie, right? The data shows that people are looking for walkable communities with businesses that serve their needs. We cannot attract businesses, we cannot position ourselves in a way to attract residents and businesses if we don't have an organization like an EERP to provide those services.
Oh, and I agree. I mean, I think the potential for the organization is tremendous. It's just that the feedback I've gotten so far from the business owners I've spoken to, they're either not aware of it or they weren't informed or they weren't approached. So, you know, that's my concern is that the board is representative of the entire district, that they're working to improve all of the businesses and the community in that area. And I guess we go one more year and, you know, from 160 to 245, I mean,
I think you have good ideas and all. I think where we're at, though, we want to see more results.
Sure.
Right? I mean, just, I don't want to get too tactical here, but just fundamentally, you know, the cleaning for the downtown for the battle, right? The way the store windows look, the vacant store windows, right? I mean, they've looked like that for a year now. Right, so you came on board in July, you know, it's a code issue, it's a SID issue, it's a, you know, wanting to make the downtown look better issue, and it didn't, right? So, you know, when I see things like that, you know, that's like a simple fix for me, you know? I mean, I think that really should have been addressed.
And it has been addressed.
No.
We paid for $7,000 worth of window coverings that are going to be coming into the district hopefully by the end of this week. You know, it's very easy, right? We can totally do a very simple fix and, you know, try to roll the paper in the window. But I don't think that does anything to make the district more vibrant.
No, and I think it should have been addressed without a council person bringing it to the attention of the city and even the code department, right? I mean, I am not trained to go around and take pictures of stuff, but I do, right? Because I see things that are broken and want to fix them, right? That's just my nature, and I'll continue doing that, you know, forever. But and with the last BBRP meeting, I received an email that the meeting started at 7. The meeting actually started at 6. I talked to some businesses they didn't even know about it. Is the board meeting open to the public at the 6 o'clock? The 6 of 6 to 8:30?
So the quarterly meetings are open starting at 6 o'clock. We start with networking. I do know that Agatha and my employee that I pay for my business have been out delivering flyers for the event. Feedback that we've gotten is that a lot of the business owners are not there at the time, and flyers have been given to employees. But we have seen an increase in attendance. We have business owners that have attended every public meeting that we've had since we started to receive public meetings, right? And so certainly, right, there's, you know, there may be a couple businesses that, you know, don't attend. We're sitting at the flyer, but that's not for a lack of time.
Well, we have two businesses. Right, attended the last BBRP last week. I would have hoped to see more, you know. I think a social post went out that morning, you know, after an email was sent to the borough. So it's just like getting the word out. I don't know, you know, I don't want to micromanage and like be looking over your stuff, you know, but The call out resumes for the businesses. How is that being conducted? And are the businesses downtown inclusive in that correspondence?
Yes, so we have flyers with QR codes that have gone out to all the businesses. They've been hand-delivered to all the businesses, advising them that we are recruiting for board members for the BVRP. We also sent out a press release that went out. You know, we're anticipating some coverage from the patch and from Tap Into so that we can generate some additional interest before the May 3rd deadline.
Could you send that flyer to us? Thank you.
And also, you're requesting resumes from prospective board members. Do you have a resume you could provide to the council for all of the current board members?
I am too.
Okay, that'd be great, too.
Yeah, I know some businesses that may want to be on the board. Mm-hmm. But, no, I mean, you're very professional. You're, I know your intentions are good. I want to be candid with you, and I would just like to see more results. Having more businesses involved, having them come to us or feel that they are being included in everything that's being done. So that's just, my feeling.
Absolutely, and I agree with you, and I think that, we are certainly making an effort to get more businesses involved. If there are any businesses that you've reached out to in particular that need an extra nudge, I'd be more than happy, to go out there and do that. We have our idea factory that's coming up this coming Tuesday. Spoke to Agnes today. Our position's been out and spoke to a variety of different businesses that are coming. Obviously, you need a horse to water. You can't force them to drink. So we are hoping that we're going to get some great attendance, some free workshop for all businesses. I do have to push back a bit, right, because, we came into the organization at a time where there was a lot of disarray and there was a lot of disorganization, and the organization's roots were not where they needed to be successful. And so we spent a great deal of the past year, getting the bones where it needs to be for us to grow, right? Learning in-house the finances, as we talked about, previous practices, had our treasurer managing the bulk of our finances, which was problematic because once that person leaves, there's nothing that, makes them turn over all of the documentation. So we had to revamp a lot of the fundamental policies and practices to be able to put us in a position to take care of a lot of the vibrancy issues that you would like to see in the district, right? And so I'm hoping that I can meet with all of the council members, right, which we've tried to do in the past couple weeks, to discuss what issues, right, really do need to be addressed organizationally so that we can put forth a plan that works for everyone.
I think it would be a good idea if we did have some sort of workshop session. We could advertise the public, whatever we need to do legally, to just sit down with you and have a better understanding of your timeline and what is being done. Because, like I said, I don't want to be a micromanager, but I do want to see results and some sort of timeline on, when we're going to see some of these deliverables come to fruition.
Also, have a question. Why are they meeting? I've gone on some other towns' websites, and every meeting is open to the public. I mean, I don't know if you've been to a lot of our meetings, but it almost never looks like it does tonight. They post their meeting, the agendas, the minutes, and every month, it's anybody can go. Why is that? It's only quarterly, out of curiosity. I don't know if that was just what they had always done. And would you be open to changing that to just say, hey, anybody can come at any given month, because when it's quarterly and somebody has a prior commitment, suddenly they have to wait. They go 6 months between a meeting, so they can't ask the question or, have an issue addressed.
So all of our meetings are open to stakeholders. So property owners and business owners, council members can come out to all of our meetings. The meetings were just always that way. So when I came on board, the recommendation was to start with quarterly public meetings to open those up to anyone to come, and progressively move that to maybe every other month, and then hopefully to a point where we can make all of them public.
Okay. Because again, I feel like this body decides on much, much bigger, broad-reaching issues, and we never have anybody. So the likelihood that if you just say they're all open to the public, you still won't have anything there.
Oh,
but I like the idea.
Yeah.
I really do.
In the majority of the other towns that I've done work in, they have been public, and that has been a conversation at the board level. We just sworn a new chairwoman last month. And so those are conversations that we're going to start having with the new chair. And hopefully we can to do, you know, the rest of the initiatives that we would like to move forward for this year. You know, one of the things that we do need to understand is that a lot of the vendors, right, and consultants that we have to work with to get some of this stuff done, right, operate kind of months in advance. And so it does kind of, you know, put things in a little bit of a, you know, of a pause for us when we're unable to at least make those commitments, right? So.
And I think I suggested at the BBRP meeting that we get put on your seed list or any email blast that you send out. So I know, so you have a workshop coming up with the window and building facades.
Yeah, so the Idea Factory workshop is coming Tuesday at the Art Center, and that is focused on facade improvements and kind of how to merchandise these windows for more effective marketing and sales. And so we are in the process of establishing our constant contact account so that we can send out marketing emails, not just to businesses and property owners, but also council members as well, to keep everybody in the loop as to what is going on.
And what time is that workshop?
Okay.
All right. Send me a flyer. That's great. And then I don't know. There was one other thing I just didn't mind though. But okay.
Okay.
Oh, the website. You're gonna you have an RFP out to the website.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. Okay. We just put an RFP together. It was just approved last week. I actually just sent out an email today to see if there was any borough resources that we could use to publicize that. I also was just made aware of a economic development authority program where they actually have grant funds for the development of websites for small businesses. I don't know if the BBRP qualifies as a small business, but I do have to call into the EDA to see if we can qualify for that as well.
And one other question. I think you mentioned, I don't know, I wrote it down here, so a landscape company that you were going to be working with. It was a landscape, and I can take it offline too if you want.
Yeah, so I think.
I remember when we met.
So I think that the conversation was about an RFP for maintenance services that we were going to be looking to do as well. That hasn't made its way to the board yet, but as soon as it does, I'll make sure to let you know.
I think this is a design firm, though, that...
For street space services.
Yes, street
correct.
Space.
Yeah, so I worked previously for Interior Streets.
That's it.
For street space services, together with a planning firm, Topology, you know, that we kind of worked together to put together a complete streets program. So that's something that we brought to the board previously. It didn't necessarily have a lot of traction because we wanted to see the planning that the borough had done previously and see and not duplicate the efforts, but we are planning to revisit that issue.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, so I did. Now, I'm sorry, one thing. Last week at the meeting, you mentioned that you wanted to open up for the public at the meetings when you guys had more of a solid location.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't utilize the theater all the time. Is that just because they just have to be open for the play that they want?
Well, we haven't made the ask. I'm sure that they would accommodate us.
Because I kind of think that'd be a great partnership with the theater and you guys, you know, kind of hand in hand with advertising events and everything.
So. Yeah, actually. So we're going on utilizing the theater three times now. So I'm sure we have a friend on.
The other one's out.
Well, two public meetings that are our upcoming workshop. So I'm sure that we can have that discussion to make it a more permanent.
Yeah, I mean, I think unfortunately the parking kind of stinks in that area, but it's a good location. You know, obviously maybe a different setup than you had last time.
And we can certainly accommodate more people there than we can at the BBRP office.
Yeah. And quite frankly, a downtown vendor did get some new customers because she showed up at the meeting.
Yep.
The dog grooming business that nobody knew existed.
Yep.
So now she's got some new customers. So you can use that in part of your advertising. Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay. So my move to table was more move to have ask questions, which I'm okay with now. So.
So I think, Natalie, I think we got to guarantee that you reach out to all of the businesses. I think that was the gist. And certainly this year you're going to have more money than you're ever going to have because of the, so we're expecting like good like results. We can't come up the next year and say, well, we didn't spend another $100,000 and ask for the same amount. I think if I'm correct, assuming that. Now, if it might be a good idea of you keep us abreast quarterly, or how we do it going to your meeting, or you come to our meetings in 3 months to let us know that the business, or let the businesses know that their money's being well spent. I think that's
so
good.
So, at least Jasmine has requested that we come out and do the second meeting of the month to give us a report, and we, either myself or Agatha, will be here every month on the second meeting, so we can sort of review you guys' requests. So, you know, everything that we are currently working on, you know, and what our plans are to do with.
Okay. So, we'll. Can we disregard that table?
Yes.
Yes.
Withdraw your motion.
Withdraw
a motion to the table. Okay. And then we'll go to the next motion.
Okay. So we'll. I'm looking for a motion to approve the special district budget in the amount of $355,000. Do I have a motion? You have a motion.
You're right.
Okay. So let's vote, please.
Councilwoman Brinchevich.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
Councilman Rossi.
Yes.
Councilman Guerra.
Yes.
Councilman Morris.
Yes.
All right, very good. The budget is adopted. We'll get on to the next budget. The municipal budget, public hearing, the 2024 municipal budget. Do we, Natasha, you're presenting it to us?
The 2024 budget compared to 2023. No, I don't see them things. It's an increase of $998,000 overall. The largest increases are coming from the area of insurance, our health insurance, and our liability and workers' comp, up $343,000. The public safety area, which includes our police, our fire safety, our EMS, fire departments, and everything, is up $436,000. Partially because EMS is functioning a full year this year for the first time. Public works, which includes our streets and roads and buildings and recycling and solid waste pickup, is $108,000 increase in statutory expenditures that are Social Security and our pension obligation to the state is up $81,000. Those are the largest items, and this $900,000 increase. Our taxes are only up $244,000. The rest of the increase we're able to absorb through other sources of revenue. So the tax increase is $244,000, which constitutes 2.6%, and it's an impact of $75.94 to an average household. The value of the average house went from $390,000 to $418,000 from 2023 to 2024, and the tax impact it went from $3,100 to $3,225 to $3,201, which is $75. The municipal rate is reduced from 0.80 to 0.765 for 2024. So if anybody has any questions,
anybody from the public have any questions? Seeing no questions, I need a motion to approve the budget.
Do we do a motion to open the public?
So we should do a motion to open to the public and then close the public.
Okay. Right, I need a motion to open.
Motion to open to the public.
And a second to open to the public.
Second.
I don't believe I heard any, so I need a motion.
Motion to close to the public.
Second. And a second. All right.
I make a motion to pass the motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? I have a couple of things. How was this?
I have a question about the EMS revenue. Is it lowballed, or is that because we haven't had a full year of activity?
So it's both a little bit of each. So we only have December, January, February, and March of 7-4 revenue. And it ranges between 25 and 14,000 a year. So I think it's an average of 20. And instead of anticipating the 41 that anticipates coming, because I don't know if 20 is a result of the fact that we weren't collecting revenue from July when we start operations in November, and it's now coming in, and then it will slow down as the year progresses, or if we're going to wrap up because we're going to capture that call. The 200,000 what I felt comfortable signing my name to the city is to save the next revenue. If we collect more, it just goes into the fund balance and into the next year.
So, my next is maybe like a hypothetical, or on the fund balance question. What's your comfortable number going from year to year? And don't say as much as possible. So, there you go. I told you not to say that.
No.
So, I'm just like in two, maybe in 2022, we went into the year with a $4.1 million surplus. We ended the year with a $5.9 million surplus. How did that happen?
So, several reasons. I mean, one of them is we didn't use all the 2022 budget as sales that came to revenue. So, we try not to spend just because we have the money. And whatever it is we don't spend lashes back, and we use it. It goes to the surplus, and we turn around and we put it back in the next year budget. We also, in 2022, did not anticipate all the pilot revenues that we are collecting. This year, the pilot revenue is higher because some of the pilots came online in the middle of the year. So the building was collected, but it wasn't anticipated in the budget. And there's some of the steep construction of the delivery, substantial revenue for us also, but a lot of permits were put in.
So then in 2023, we started with 5.9 and ended with 5.9 and took out 1.3 of surplus. And this year, this year we took out 1.3 of surplus.
That's what we're
using the budget.
Right.
That's going back to my original question, why can't we take more out of the surplus to reduce the tax impact?
So there's no Google of that on how much you should take out of surplus. There is, if you ask five people, they will tell you that the surplus should be 10% of your tax rate. If you ask another in the CDAs or RMAs, they'll tell you it should be 25% of the operating budget. There is no acceptance. What if you run for the bond control? That's one of the items they're looking for. What if you found out? Are you lowering it every year? Are you using more of the budget? To use a very large number of budget is a very dangerous slope because I can take $3 million from the budget, but it's a one time giving. I don't have $3 million to put year after year after year. So, yes, we might say this year, but what if you do next year? Next year, you need perhaps to be even more than $75 a household because, again, you generate $3 million. And if you show that your surplus continues to decline, but you go to borrow the money all over the market, the Moody's ways and people look at it and they'll say, well, they're leaving out their saving account. They're not regenerating the surplus. So their four-year rating will go down, and you just set up to 2020.
Okay. So back in 2022, you think the $4.1 million surplus was not enough?
It was a close number.
It was a healthy number.
Yeah.
So now we presently have a $4.6 million surplus.
Yeah.
If you took $500,000, wouldn't you still have a healthy surplus?
I would have a healthy ending gap, since I would think 1.8 would put in the budget. Instead of making it from 2025, it's starting here, because that's happening short, because A, I will not generate the surplus that I took out. So what happens next year, in addition to the normal increases, you also have another $500,000.
One more quick question. About bonding. When we talk about like our bonding capacity, is that a number? Like the 2 million, like is that based on?
So it's based on the average assessment, and it's 3.15% of the equivalent assessment that's in private store. We're currently at 3.66%. So it is high, it's higher than I would like it to be, but other than the same lawyers that we have.
So we're, I think our capital is 1.7 this year. The bond ordinance is 1.7.
That was 2.6.
So going forward, that should be roughly the number of capital we should.
So ideally, I would like this number to be what we pay off right here. So if I pay off it, I would like not to exceed $1 million. New debt. So this stays roughly the same because every time I pay off a million and I take it over to sell it, I increase my debt by $700,000. You know, there's a suit right now, government looked at it today, and almost 25% of my budget was debt. But I also understand that you haven't done a lot of purchases in a long time, so the last 4 years we replaced, you know, fire truck.
And one other thing. Was this the last year we're using sewer money? Or do we have a...
We still have money for 2025. Not the full
life. So in 2025, like, we're in trouble because we're going to be starting... Because we don't have
so
it's probably why I asked too many questions. All right, I'm done.
I mean, the sewer is 2025 and probably the last year.
So then we're going to operate for almost like a deficit to make. We've been living on that.
That's the $5 million we got.
Yes, but we split. We split it over.
We pay for debt services. So
$500,000
a few years ago,
doesn't
even close
the wall,
it's going to be $1.8 million.
Okay, I have no
further questions. And also with the surplus, what happens is we take on more revenue. Just because we have revenue coming in from additional pilots, we still have the appropriations limitation. So we can't just say, hey, we have an extra, call it $1 million, and we can keep taxes flat, spend all that million, because we can only spend up to, I believe it's a 3.5% of previous year spending. So even if we had more, if we can increase revenue or get a windfall, that doesn't mean we can just spend it. We have limitations on what we can spend year to year. So in years where we had revenue that we weren't anticipating, it ends up going into that surplus. So.
Okay. All right. Any other further questions? Then we vote on the budget.
And real quick, I want to thank Natasha, Jasmine, and the committee for all the work they did for this.
And all the department heads for knowing.
Yes, for working with us for the requests of cuts. Okay.
Councilwoman Brinchevic?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
All right, very good. The budget passes. Now we, any greetings, any invitation from the public for any discussion? Hearing none, we're going to get into our next reports of the department heads. I want to thank all of you department heads for coming out tonight, and I think it's important that we show the taxpayers that their money is being spent wise, and there's no better persons to let them know that than the people who are on the ground there working. So we appreciate you coming out, and I think the taxpayers knowing that their hard-earned money is being well spent is what our job is, and we appreciate it. I think we're going to deviate a little from the order here, because I think I promised Chief, you have to leave.
We're good now.
You're good now?
Yeah,
is it already?
It burned.
Time flies again. All right, then we'll go by
this list.
Okay. So the first department head to give his report. Try and keep it, under a half hour each report. I need 3 minutes.
You have 30 seconds left.
And your clock already started, so you're into it for 10 seconds.
So the engineering report this month, the 22 program, that's what we've been working on all fall, they need to read back. Let's say it's meeting in Park Place. We're just waiting on paving now. They got laid on the other projects for paving for the weather. So as soon as they come in, they'll be paving those areas of those streets. So we have a lot of paving coming up in the next couple months. The 23 program, they did all the concrete work, all the engineering on West 2nd from Lamont to the T. They did all the concrete and engineering on Lamont. They did all that on North Meadow and that on East 2nd, which is a challenge with businesses over there. Everything ends up being fairly tight. We will see some savings over there because the road is concrete and it's not directly moving construct. Something that plans did not indicate. So, finally, I'm happy back to look at the road ahead of it. But we'll see the good amount of money that has to do their job. Let me know that the concrete on the second street this week. The next would be Pearl Hall out of the parking lot here. I've got some hold off on that until we know what the game is coming back, but I don't want to make this up. The concrete have it, but they have a long way to pay for it. So my intent is to get that in here. The concrete has a game group program behind and try to minimize the service, because there's really a lot that has happened to PCC admin and the public. So what I did as a contractor is when they're ready to bring the game group in, I want to have another meeting with them, being that the police department contractors and logistically go over everything, see how the state things, see what things are going to lay out. My intent is to reach the parking lot, try to grab another space too. It's a very tight, but I think we'd grab it at all. But that's the intent. So everything's moving forward with them. The pool rehabilitation project. I'm not sure who's needed for that, but the concrete is substantially complete. We go out to the shell now. The only thing that's missing is the zero entry portion of the pool that for ADA access. I don't need a little of that open, so when we do the things that look better, it gets back open to the rebar that's there, and then we do the rest of the concrete in that area. But for all intents and purposes, the pool shell is complete. The next thing that will happen, most likely next week, once the concrete turns up, contract will come in for our reforms, and then backfill, then take the guard, and then we'll see what we'll work from there, including the various components. So that will be moving very well. Last thing I'll talk about tonight is the community parking field we have. As you know, last time's meeting, we authorized the top of the So, contractor started, the hiring contractor, he started. That project will be completed most likely Thursday this week. Saw that coming tomorrow from the infield. Again, that project is going very well. I've been out there almost every day with them, monitoring progress, and it's really going well. One more new project is going to be great for everybody in the borough, the school, and the kids. That brings me to report tonight. Are there any questions on that? No. Okay, very good. Moving on to public works. Again, normally I don't do these. There's always a lot that goes on, so I'm trying to hit the high points. Special events, we got two of them, the Battle of Elmbrook and Arbor Day at Mariposa Park. The Battle of assisted Councilman Richard Big and others with flags, and approaching a perfectly downtown Disney break. We had a meeting the whole way. The event was Arbor Day over at Mariposa. We prepared the community garden fence. You move the existing walkway from the curb leading to a smaller walking need. The active, where it was the main access for bringing equipment in, and basically walking so we can damage by equipment and equipment so support. Beneficial to moving over, and really came out well. We moved the benches and the tables, and then we brought the extra space all over the tree and planted the supply mulch for the shade tree commission. So, that project went well. One of the main things, park was going fine. Having some issues with the cans, the bars on the cans, I reached out to the vendor to try to rectify the situation. Working back and forth with them. I've also solicited a quote for the 65-gallon totes, which will be a smaller tote than what we have now, just to get a kind of cost based on a round number, I think, of 500, just to see what that cost will be, and if it makes sense to try to go smaller on some of the senior residents. Also, just that we're still having some households are not following the rules. They're still using old cans, even though we get new cans. They're still putting stuff in bags on curbs. They're putting walk items out of the stairs without following procedures. So, as we go forward, those work with us on that. And it's not much, but it's still out there. And as we've done the breaks every year this time, we're seeing an uptick in people growing furniture, moving down the roads, parking lots, things like that. But it makes it a little bad for everybody. And then one thing I'd like to remind everybody, I get a lot of calls every week about having recycling, about complaints about those, and that our help is not in recycling. And that I can't stress that enough. People, they need to call the county recycling dispatch for their concerns to be addressed. We're all looking by the containers, we're all looking for recycling. Tree burning and removal along the yard break, the truck is currently in repair, and we'll have that back this week. The removal of running list is expensive, it happened for years, but since the yard came out, that list actually grew. We've been knocking out a lot of it, but I repeat, people have patience. People call in, they want to be down today. Unless it's an actual emergency, take it down quickly, not waiting like everybody else. Once that truck comes in or comes back, we should be able to keep going. Yard debris, just a reminder, collection every the week. We'll go back there every week again. Follow the comments on the website so we can effectively collect debris. We're still having people that are putting it out without bottling it, without cutting it down on the plastic bags. Instead of paper bags, and remember, no grass blades. We get people on very dry places. Dangerous sources of energy, so it's out. You can bring the grass blades, both there in the truck. However, they will take them from residents, so it's kind of a strange way they operate, but it's their game, it's not mine. Roads, we realize that there's a lot of potholes out there. There's still this high as you sit here. We've done repair the time already last week, I did 8 tons. It was sounding a lot. We have 2 or 3 guys that are shoveling it. He's on a lot. And so it needs to go. So like I said, we're just patient with that. We're still going if we can. Council over the years, the Goodness County has been very proactive in repairing and reconstructing roads. It's paramount. Getting roads to last a long time and try to eliminate a lot of these potholes. The act is just a pothole on the road itself. It works. Even the statue was still cracking, so other issues. Also, along the road, we did the Lake Street one way at this time, and also blacked out the area. It needs to be blacked out for the striping, extended the stop bar line along Thompson. So that's fully complete now, one way going from Fossler to Thompson. I'm going to use one short with the same way of road and home. We're still working on the signage. There's more signage to be installed for park restrictions, various locations. Installation is ongoing. There's a ton of signage to get put in for various reasons and various locations. And we do it if we can with the staff I have. One last thing that I will say is County is scheduling a reserve of pavement on the Retailer Fest this Friday night between Brayton Bridge and the floodgate on South Main Street. I personally get a ton of calls on that. Reading about the conditions that are underway. I hate to tell ABC County Road. I would like something more than just go out and take care of myself. But cost-wise, it's not fair to the borough, and liability-wise, it also isn't the smart idea to do in case something does happen. So they are preparing that Friday night overnight. The road should be open by 5 a.m. Saturday morning. Everything is off. Street sweeping, we continue this week. The town of Davenport is making a report on Monday Friday with a new schedule. That's also going to be Wednesdays as well. We do have a bunch of weather permits. I'm here to stay on the park again. Park area is not the best situation. We still pick up a ton of debris. It's better than not doing it at all. I get so much building up that much, so we do what we can. The new sweeping schedule will be adopted hopefully. And then we'll start getting signs up and we'll be able to implement that over the next couple weeks. Parks and fields, obviously, regular maintenance is ongoing with grass cutting and we trim the shrubs for our costumes the other day. We're planning an extensive blowing project in May for building and cockroaches and all flower beds, spruce that up. Baseball and softball season is underway, so we're back in the field and lining up for games. Fields will still get back several times a week, whether the game or not, to aggravate the weeds to keep them at bay. So we are we're doing that as a daily process for us. Tennis courts we're going to be prepared over the next few weeks. I'm going to see one more company about sewer material. I bought a couple of time. Not bad, but I'm going to an open house on Thursday. So I'm going to check to see if there's one more before I pull the trigger and get the ball out. We'll be able to get that in the next couple weeks. And then the Williams light bulb, we haven't had a light there in a while, keeps being. The pulley itself is broken inside the bulb. I've gone through three vendors. They come out, they take a look at it, they are like, they don't want to deal with it, they won't fall back. I'm not sure if it's the height, but it's 100 foot tall. For the access to this law, in order to have anything to do, I'm sure that there will be some improvement and concern with damage in the area. So I'm on my fourth vendor, hopefully the fourth time is the norm, but that's kind of where we are. So that's my most highlight for the public.
Very good. Anybody, any questions?
Yeah, quick question. The billion baseball field project, how's that? Is that done?
That's, that was done for a bit.
Okay.
Spot for the new market. But the field itself is pretty from that level. They actually raised all day about 6 inches. The grading's done and get the field of pitch better. So the pitch man is done, everything in the field lifted up, and they're ready for spot tomorrow. Actually, my guys out there trapping out of field tonight, so the spot and the outdoor retirement team planes right now while the spot's happening. So, currently the plan of wrapping up, they being a contractor, and then I've talked to the school already, to the ED. And we're going to ask them to stay on the field for about 10 days. So that the field is locked in and established itself. And they were on the field for that meeting this morning. So I'm sure many home games the second half of the year, but I think it's a waste of 12
hours. Absolutely. And is the outfield, has that been leveled at all?
Outfield was in touch as part of this project.
Okay, it's a lot of craters in there, right?
There's some ups and downs to the fall. So I have to, you've got to play with the irrigation stuff, not the other, depending on the rain. And you might have it's a clay subbase because of the prior rainfall that we get that clay for, so it's really horrible.
Any update on the charging station reinstall?
That is.
And I don't want to make this longer, I apologize to everybody.
You can set me up here. But the, I'm still waiting on a possible feedback. Our electrician had to rework a number, and the feedback's a contract to do the road work. So once I get that, we'll be able to move forward. Hopefully, we have enough money in the contract to move
forward. And one last thing, you said the yard waste truck is in the shop?
No, the bucket truck with the tree is in the shop.
Okay, so I can put my stuff out this week?
Yes.
That's okay.
The yard waste will get the tree cover.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, quick. So the Mariposa Park,
yeah.
There's planting beds there, right? Do you?
You're talking about inside the garden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Do we charge for those, for people that are plant there?
No. That's borough.
Yeah. Maybe they're in charge. $20 a
pot. Oh, $20.
Maybe a little bit.
And where does that money go?
To the garden.
Oh, to back into the garden?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. And, all right, so you didn't do anything to the pot, but we're going to talk about, like, the bigger project with Raritan Valley, potentially, right? Okay. Sausage Alley.
Yes.
The craters.
It's horrific. I probably close the coffee some of the days in there every year. It's big, because a lot of it is, you know, you patch them, and then they get delivery trucks right through there, and everything breaks up worse, and then it just kind of keeps going. What really should happen is a heavy reconstruct back there, which was like the 19th Street going up towards the back shop right now. We go to the regular maintenance section to do it, but it's going to be a matter of one, get money to do it, and to effectively it is scrapped a lot by trucks.
So the portion behind Dunkin' Donuts is horrific, right?
Yeah, okay.
So the other portion, though, will potentially be the roadway to get to the parking lot, you know, that we're going to put on right Sausage Alley for the...
Is it on 14 now?
Yeah, 14. So
between Maiden Lake and...
Maiden and Mountain.
So yeah. We are currently working... I'm literally waiting on the vendor to start with... demolition. So once that happens, we're going to figure out how we're going to completely fix that, not only that alley, but also the where the garages are being demolished and where the buildings are going to be demolished.
Okay. So that, because my concern is people walking from that parking area to the...
Yes, it's a full-blown project.
And I guess the Sausage Alley, though, how did ever get Sausage Alley?
Okay.
All right. So, the sausage out. Maybe there was a sausage store there before Dunkin' Donuts. So sausage out behind Dunkin' Donuts will not be in your scope of your project, though.
Not for that part.
Okay. All right. I'll just stay away from sausage out. Thank you.
Anyone else? Very good. Thank you. Police department. Chief Conroy?
She only needs about 10 more minutes
than they have. Oh, perfect.
We recently had one resignation that's on the agenda for this evening for you all to process. We're moving forward with hiring two additional officers who will be entering the police academy in July. They both have local ties to the community, so it's as a homegrown boy myself, I like seeing that come around. Progress on our transition to county dispatch. Our contract agreement with them is for on or about June 1st. We've had a few meetings. It's getting busy with it now, but we're all prepared on our end. So tentatively, that will happen June 4th. The first is a Saturday. They don't like to do things on Monday like this. So we're looking at Tuesday. So I anticipate that continuing smoothly. In the meantime, all of our dispatchers, they process those, but gratefully, gladly have found other government jobs, so nobody lost a pension or time in the pension system. So that really worked out well, including the one dispatcher who transferred to code enforcement. So, community policing efforts continue. In the report that I sent you earlier in the month, you saw the photos. The officer has been out there a lot, putting a lot of effort in that. This past Saturday, there was an event at Lamont Field with the Hispanic Latino State Troopers Association doing soccer work workshop, and that had fantastic attendance. I know you all supported recently, and I've mentioned it a few times, but our Community Police Alliance coordinator, and you see it in his monthly reports. It's amazing to me. I think he's averaging, let's say, about 30 referrals a month. That might be a little bit high, but it's somewhere between 25 and 30. But the gentleman reaches out to the families. He has almost like an 80% success rate in just making contact, and then he's got about a 75% success rate of the total contacts that take help. And in the past, these are people where we as police officers would just go, answer the call, put out the brush fire, whatever it might be, and that was it. There was no follow-up, there was no social services, there was no trying to solve the root cause of the problem. So, you know, and obviously, as we see in the media all the time with police departments and law enforcement, getting to the emotionally disturbed person and not making that bigger crisis is obviously a huge concern. So, you know, I feel really good that we have a program here that we're getting to the root cause of this. Us and Bridgewater are the only two communities in the county that have anything like that. The state has a huge initiative out for, they call it Arrive Alive. But once again, that's only a social worker that goes when somebody's in absolute crisis to get them to mental health services. We do follow up after that, after routine calls. So I can't say enough about how good that program is in partnership with the county. I was going to mention William Street, but they already covered that for me. Thanks, Dale. Also, as you can see by the monthly report that comes up, our call line, we've increased from last year to about 2,500 calls for service a month. In March, it was up to 2,800 calls for service. I anticipate the warmer weather coming that our volume is going to continue to increase. So, as always, and I include every monthly report, thank you all for your support. It's been tremendous. And if there's any concerns, we'll give it up.
Yes. Yeah, so part of the increase, is that due to the apartments coming online, or what would you say?
A little bit of everything. Plus, you've expanded the patrol division, so more officers, more car stops, more proactive actions. Personally, I'm a big proponent of traffic enforcement. Traffic enforcement is a presence and deterrence. So, those kind of things just help. People see the officer's job as a community, and it's not always about enforcement. There's a lot of different ways to increase our presence. And the one letter can ultimately be that as you want to.
And the, I don't want to throw a blank on, what's the officer that the county program?
The Community Police Alliance.
Okay. So this community, yeah. I'm like,
CPAC.
Yeah. CPAC. Yes. Now, and because that's a shared service, that's not really costing the borough.
So the borough pays 50% of the salary as per the agreement.
Yeah. So.
And actually, did we ever use the opioid money?
Yes.
So the opioid money from the settlement every municipality runs a certain amount of money, and we're able to dedicate a percentage of our 50%. We had to calculate how much time we spent for the opioid responses. We couldn't use it to pay our 50%.
Sure.
We paid that to also offset the
furloughs. I mean, I just wanted to bring that up because we're getting great service and it's not costing us the whole real cost.
Right,
it's a great program.
Benefit that we're getting versus what we're paying. Yes. Well worth
it. And again, my focus is only on the dollars. So. Excellent.
Anyone else have a question? How are we getting guys radar certified?
We're working on that. So the State Police Training Commission just increased their standard for radar instructors, and you might have all read this some in the newspaper, but we're no longer certified. We're not licensed. And when the Police Training Commission stepped in, a lot more detail than you need, but when the Police Training Commission stepped in, part of the licensing and the radar certification, they made radar instructors certified in a course called Methods of Instruction. And actually our officer, who is a radar instructor, who is now taking the other instructors for his needs, and it's certainly on my radar.
Do we have lasers?
Yes, sir. No, the department did invest in lasers, I believe the Chief Jones here, and they never have a ones out of money. So we just have the dollars. And we've invested in upgrading those to a lot of that equipment.
Very good. Hearing no one else.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fire Chief Chief Smith.
I'm going to make this as soon as possible. Here's a copy of our report for the local council.
And the bulk of our fire report tonight is focusing on that house. I believe we're the last volunteer department in the borough. So summed up from January 1st to March 31st, there's a total of 90 calls for service, equating 1,644 man hours. There were 17 calls between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. From January 1st to March 31st, as I stated. The call report is below. Breaks out the calls we respond to. The thing that sticks out, and it should stick out, is the administrative hours for the three chief officers. In total, chief of the department, who happens to be myself, is 210 hours in the first quarter of the year. The deputy chief is at 110 hours in the first quarter of the year, and the assistant chief is at 116 hours in the first quarter of the year. The three chiefs, we have different roles in operations of the department. The assistant takes care of a lot of our mechanics. Goes to the state, and that's how the state gets our statistics requires. The deputy chief runs personnel files and training, and I have my hands involved in all the vendors and meetings with the door professionals on a daily basis. Below that is more manpower hours for company meetings, which came to a total of 141. Truck checks, which are done one night per week per company. There's three companies in town, which equated out to 211 man hours. And then company and department drills. Companies drill once a month in addition to any department drills. And that was 232 man hours. So in the first quarter of the year, we had 1,020 man hours equated not on calls, and 2,664 man hours equated with responding fire calls. So just in that alone, you know, you can see the amount of time that the volunteers take away from their jobs, their lives at home. Of our 68 volunteers, I would be hard pressed to say that 75% of them are still working a full-time job. So there's a lot of hours that are out there. Fire prevention and the fire department, we have a great relationship with Eric and his department. We've actually worked on a program that we're going to be, tonight's like a soft launch. We're going to be kind of rolling it out over the next month. It's to inform the fire department and the responders of lithium-ion battery fires. In a lot of the houses that are going up with this green initiative, there's a battery backup in the residences. Those batteries in 2023, just in Manhattan alone, were attributed to 18 deaths. Across the country, it was almost 200. So lithium-ion batteries are slowly becoming the number one problem that we're facing as firefighters. So we've developed a small sticker to show to you guys. We have them printed. We're going to pay for them out of our budget. We're not looking to make money off of this. Just trying to make ourselves safer here. Fire Marshal and the Deputy Chief have been working on literature that's going to go out with the program. If you know anybody that's got a battery bank in their house, has an electrical vehicle charger in the garage, let us know. We are looking for a guinea pig to take pictures and, you know, promote the program. It's something for us. The gases alone are something that can kill you. And then with the back heat from the solar panels of the electrical vehicle that's plugged in, it becomes an electrical hazard as well as firefighting problems that we have with them. Our board meetings are the third Thursday of every month. The council is welcome to attend. They're at 7 o'clock. Obviously, those may change in case of an emergency. If they do, when we reschedule, we'll let you know. But other than that, if you guys have any questions, I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Anyone, any questions?
I love the idea of the sticker stuff. Most of the people aware of electric bikes, electric scooters, because that's the most common standard out there. And going out to the UL listed, to have some battle in that, and there's tons of stuff out there that is already and there's tons of defense stuff in order to pass.
I'm going to let Eric touch on that. Yeah, we were a little better. We were just able to put out some literature on the our own Facebook page, and any of that embedded on the cost of aftermarket components of looking at batteries and chargers and accessories. So, but yeah, so we have put that out, and we are going to incorporate that into the package as well.
And these stickers, we're looking to see if we can get the residents to put them. We're hoping for two. If we can get one, we'll be happy. On the top right of their front door, or the top right of their garage door. So when somebody arrives on scene, we quick hit the house with a flashlight. These are reflective. So if we do hit the garage door, we see this in the corner, we'll know that there's a battery battery backup or an EV charger inside the structure. So we can kind of plan for it.
Is there like a... I'm thinking tax laws with solar credits. Is there like a wattage hour, like a standard that, you know, how many batteries, how big of a unit are you, would you want those stickers to be? I mean, not going to be somebody who's got to recharge like a bike.
Yeah, right? So we initially we're rolling this out into parking electric vehicles and roof mounted solar systems.
Okay.
You know, again, we are concerned about the scooters, the motorcycles, the bikes, but this program is more geared towards going after the larger items that it describes. It would be difficult to track down and to also keep track of who has stuff as far as smaller appliances, smaller bikes, and scooters, and things like that. So if we know that somebody has those items and there's, you know, more than one of them, maybe we could reach out to them and ask them to do it. But it's more difficult to really narrow the scope on smaller items.
No, I was just curious. I mean, like I said, there was a tax law that.
Well, the Green Initiative is pushing a lot of people to do the electric vehicles and the solar panels. And depending on the size of the house, the solar panels are going to have a battery backup. You know, so as soon as you kill the main lines of the breaker, that battery backup is kicking on, and we can still get electrocuted trying to do our job.
The construction department is dealing with permits on the installation of all these systems. So as the construction department deals with the permits, they relay that information to me and then myself and the chief.
So like a leaf blower, electric leaf blower.
Solar panels, electrical charger, electrical car chargers and garages. Things that are going to have a big load behind them. You know, a Milwaukee leaf blower battery, yeah, it might catch fire, but it's not going to pose the same threat to us as a directly, if I throw a wrong number out there, a 3,000 watt or 3,000 amp solar bank. You know, that's a bigger problem.
That's the load that makes them explode? Is that what the problem is?
So what happens is, when in particular, the lithium ion batteries are very close to excessive heat or they're damaged, instead of just put the whole thermal load away, and once one tank starts to go, they spread to the other tank, it creates a massive fire that unfortunately doesn't respond well for a lot of water and conventional fire suppression tactics. So if we're aware of it, you can get a jump on it, sort of plan ahead for the suppression efforts. So, but I think your point, like the leaf blowers and things like that, really what we're going to do is from that and sort of being proactive. So not the smaller things, it's more like educational and informational.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Good.
Thank you, Chief. Thanks very much.
Our emergency medical service, our coordinator is in Atlantic City for a conference, so Dr. Giannato is going to handle the report as well as OEM stuff.
Good evening, everybody. I think everybody here knows me, Jason Giannato, captain of the Baffert Police Department. As the mayor said, I'm also the deputy coordinator, the coordinator for OEM for the borough as well. Mike Lakatowski runs EMS. He's not here today. He's down in Atlantic City at a conference. I think you guys all have copies of the report from him. I'm going to go over the EMS real quick with you guys. I'll answer whatever questions I can for you. So March run numbers, 128 requests for service, and 101 patients were treated. Year-to-date, 756 patients, 44 of which were mutual aid into Somerville, North Plainfield, Greenbrook, and Denellen. Also, 286 of those were also into Middlesex, which, if my math is correct, roughly 426 calls were within the borough. Average response times over the past 9 months is roughly less than 2.5 minutes. Average arrival time is just under 7 minutes. The national average is just under 9 minutes, and the New Jersey average is 18 minutes. So I think we're doing a pretty good job there. Both ambulances are currently undergoing seasonal and preventative maintenance. Recent community events, light of duty death from South Dunbrook for Deputy Chief Conkle, the Battle of Bound Brook, St. Patrick's Day Parade, New Jersey State Police Soccer Clinic, as the Chief alluded to earlier, Arbor Day ceremony on Sunday, April 14th, Station 4 EMTs Martinez and Maloney, if I say it correctly, successfully executed a tourniquet deploying onto an individual and most likely saving their life. Station 4 EMS also received several compliments from following responders, patients, and their, as well as their families. Any questions on that? Okay. Oh, yeah? Moving on?
Yeah, please. Just, do you know, are we planning on increasing hours, or is that still on the back burner? Do we know?
Going back to his finance question.
Yeah.
That's been the discussion that we have in mind. Yeah,
we kind of thought that we were looking to not just spring and see how the revenue is coming.
I think we're waiting on the April return to see if things stabilize. And
For the summer months, possibly? Is that what you're kind of possibly or...
So we were looking, like they said, we're looking to receive some more data and then start. I think the month was around June when we're going to extend the shift from 6 to 12.
So they're still operating, they're operating in the red?
They are.
By how much? Or 200,000.
Well, if you go with your conservative figure of 20,000 a month, have an income of $240,000 a year against salary expenses.
Well, salary is another expense.
So, with my, is it worthy in the ENT part is almost neutral?
Yes.
So, does that make sense? I know I'm splitting hairs. So there's two components in salaries. There's the full-time employee, which is Mr. Lepkowski, and then there's the per diem EMT, which are not full-time employees, which just pick up shifts for us every day. And those are the people that staff the ambulance and keep it running every day. We're making from the insurance companies about what that costs us. So we're still paying the expenses of the vehicle maintenance, the supplies, the insurance, the fuel, so on and so forth. But we're recouping the personnel cost for the per diems only. And part of the experiment with the expanded summer hours is the evening volume may increase to supplant a higher hourly rate. So that way, we're supposed to be.
And the only way to stay operating black is to do other towns, right? Is to service other towns, right? I think we had that conversation way back.
Right, but then there's also, and we have really good relationships with the other paid services in the neighborhood. So then you have to worry about how much are you going to be servicing everybody else and not servicing yourself. And once in a while, as you know, we run into that.
Yeah.
Where we have to put some of those paid service during the daytime. And we also have a good relationship with our Plainfield, which is 24/7 maintenance. So if the hospital can't back us up with volunteers, we're pretty confident. It hasn't failed to get us working with us.
So our reimbursement per call, is that what we expected for?
The management company, the manager, said that our rate is about $300 per call. And then, I don't know what we expect the 1,200 calls. We were actually expecting that the management company would charge us 20% for the management of the billing, so they only charge us 8%. So, on that end, we made more money than we were anticipated. I don't know.
We're certainly exceeding 1,200 calls.
Yes, we are. But we have two calls that are not digital calls. So we answer the calls, but we don't get the collecting money on the calls.
Good. So on a call with someone with insurance, the reimbursement is about $300.
So we could also get checks that are $106.99. And most of them are from Aetna, so I'm not sure if Aetna is not paying for other insurance companies. Not the supervisor of that.
Apparently, one of the things that they lost the model, so some of the cues is to go to Overlook or Edison, one of the third or fourth hospitals. That's
one. So, roughly 120 calls of month.
We were actually closer to 150. 120 would be a slow month. We'll do 120 this month, which is slower. Ever since we took on Middlesex, which helps us offset our hourly cost on this month, the per diem, otherwise,
so even 150 calls a month times $20 reimbursement means that $200,000 that you put in the budget is probably low, roughly.
Yes, that's all.
I wasn't insinuating anything other than keeping our fingers crossed. That's all.
To directly answer one of your earlier questions, because I did a lot of the projection spreadsheets, I think that the average that anticipated per call based on talking to other people was somewhat higher than what were realized.
And we had a question on that.
Right, we did. The number seems to be moving target.
Okay.
Also, is there any opportunity for to get funding from some of these municipalities that we're servicing? I mean, if they don't have to have a rescue squad and we're covering, let's see, 200.
I don't think that's completely out of the question.
Yeah, I mean, if we have 286 in year to date in the Middlesex, I mean, that's a huge benefit for them that we're barely breaking even.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we need more calls. The more volume, the better off we'll do.
Right. It's a mutually beneficial
but
relationship.
But they're getting something.
Yes. And the amount of cash flow shouldn't be underrated alone.
Okay. Or even a state shared services type thing. I'll let the people who know more about that. It's just a thought.
We do the asset that much shared service, and that takes all the expenses for the outside
And even at the moment, even the way we're doing it already, it could be a shared services once it was formalized and
agreed.
We wouldn't need money, we just need the agreement
yet.
And
that gives us more flexibility.
Right.
All right.
So are we going to start that discussion, or is that coming from Jasmine?
So let me just get a better handle on what we currently are doing, and then I will come back to the council and let you all know how we can proceed.
Very good. Anybody else? Anything, OEM? What?
Briefly go over.
Yep. OEM. Have roughly 18 members on our roster. 12 consistently are active. We've responded to 11 different incidents supporting the PD, DPW, fire department. We've qualified for the 2024 EMMA grant. I'm trying to go over this fast so we can all get out of here. We joined the Somerset County Hazard Mitigation Plan. We have 3 members that are finishing up their coursework for deputy coordinators. Events that we've assisted in: Battle of Battle Rock, Memorial Day Parade, Fire Department Carnival, Trunk or Treat, and multiple floodgate closures. One thing I would like to add, not off the report, but the members that have come out for our larger incidents, such as the line of duty death from Southbound Brook, the Battle of Bound Brook,
these incidents or these programs would not have been possible without the volunteers coming out and helping us out, besides costing us a lot of money through overtime. Communication has been phenomenal between us, OEM, Fire Department, PD, DPW, and Jasmine as well. It's just been a great work environment. Everybody's been working together, and I think we have a really, really good team. Great. Questions on OEM?
Thank you.
Code enforcement, you want to separate or Eric, do you want to give a report after that? Do you want a joint report?
No,
or Steve will give it to cover you?
Okay. I realize my report's not going to be as interesting or exciting or informative as Dale's public works report. My report's usually numbers. And we'll talk about those. We're looking at this month. There was 175 zoning violations, which resulted in 80 summonses. Those are all property maintenance issues. As far as inspections, there's 202 spot inspections, where they were complaints that were called in that we went out to take a look at, which added into the zoning violations and the summonses. 26 smoke certifications for resale. And I just want to touch base on the inspections. So we're out, the Citizen, Meridia, the Allure, Mosaic, they show up on this report as one inspection. But you're talking about almost 400 units that are being inspected were those four. So the number doesn't reflect the amount of work that's actually involved. Eric had 25 fire violations, with one fire investigation, which is actually a good number. We didn't have a lot of issues, 43 fire inspections, 20 construction permits were issued, 118 inspections for the construction department. On a different issue, which was brought up with Sausage Alley, I don't know how they got that name either. The demo permit for the garages has been issued. We were waiting on outside approvals. He's mobilizing to take those down now. We do have another house on West Main that's going to be coming down shortly. We're waiting on an asbestos and lead report so that we can finalize that demolition permit. And we are moving forward with getting quotes, which I think we're going to have to go out to bid for the property on Maiden Lane and 16. They're going to go over the threshold. I don't see how they're going to be beyond that. So we'll put together an RFP at that point when we get that. I know that we have someone from the health department here. You got three from the health department. I'm going to let them talk about their own report. Okay.
So I'm not going to hit on that. One of the other things that we're trying to do, we call it objectives and goals. Right now we're sending everybody for mandatory leg training. Because the state of New Jersey says that we are now, since we have the rental properties, we have to have lead certifications in order to be able to do these lead inspections. What is it? It's middle of next month?
Oh, yes. They should have the regular.
We're lucky because the ordinance was already in place. So we also got a lead grant. Natasha was able to obtain a lead grant. I mean, the classes are like $850 a person. It's not cheap. We also use some of that money to obtain tablets for the and training for the lead module so that we can report to the state properly. Obviously, we got our dispatcher / code enforcement guy now. He's going through all the training. We have him in there. And now it's the summer months. One of the things that I want to do with our guys is walk the main street. Just introduce ourselves. We're not the bad guys always issuing violations and penalties. Main Street and Union Avenue, they're businesses. They don't know us until we issue a violation or penalty. I just want them to go out and introduce themselves so that there's a face to go along with whatever issues are out there. And know that they can reach out to us if they have an issue, and we can deal with it. That's part of what we do. That's really it for me, unless you want to know about the dollar amounts.
One thing that you didn't mention that you've been working on is a municipal remedy that we were going to propose to the governing body to address the violations, the repeat violations from property owners.
And I don't know, did we ever do the ordinance for the windows?
Yeah.
We did? Yeah, I think that was, that kind of goes right along with the city. I think that's a good tool to have in there so that we can maybe get a little bit better compliance with some of the business owners who aren't as cooperative as we'd like them to be. Because quite honestly, the store windows that are soaked do not attract anybody. It does not attract foot traffic. And as you said, I know you're going for the applicants now, so hopefully that'll help Main Street. If anybody has any questions?
Just while I was here, just so what's, according to this ordinance, what's identified a window that needs to be?
Oh, I have a few.
Yeah, there are a few. Will you notify?
No, we'll coordinate with the city because they already have an applique design and maybe already have cooperation with the store owners. You know, we don't need to, issue a violation if they're already cooperating.
But yours are going to be nice. But what about the owner says, listen, I'm not paying for that?
So they're not paying. So the BDRP is paying to cover the vacant storefront. So those coverings are coming free of charge. They're being applied from the outside, and they are removable. So when a new tenant comes into the space, you know, they give us a call, let us know when the tenant's moving in, and we'll make the arrangements to have them vinyl removed. We can, though, for more temporary vacancies, actually have those coverings done in either like a banner vinyl or in a paper roll.
So it can be
easily put up, right, and paper roll just disposed of. And we can keep stock of that in the BDRP office. The vinyls that we're putting up are for more kind of long-standing vacancies that really show, you know, no sign of being rented in the near future. So the more temporary vacancies, we can still provide those, but they wouldn't be the kind of sticker vinyl that's going on from the outside. But we would be more, we have relationships with the property owners who come in from the inside, put up the vinyl, and put up the
and you use those for like tenant put-ups, things like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what it puts it in practice. So that's for the downtown area that you, how about for Union Avenue? That'll be on.
Well, the ordinance is for the town.
For the entire town. That's what I'm saying. So an owner of a vacant store on Union Avenue, how do they cover the window?
Well, with the ordinance is talking about some type of applique that's acceptable to the municipality or zoning officer, and it would be done through a zoning permit. So we would see it, we'd have to approve it, and then they would have to put it up. Or they're going to get a violation and a penalty to go along with it to force compliance. Penalties are there to get compliance. They're not there to be punitive. Sometimes you need to give them the extra shove.
Anybody else have any questions? We'll see something about remedy.
The remedy?
An ordinance of how we're going to deal with it? Like that.
Correct. We need to just work with Eric to make sure the language is.
So you didn't mention how much money you bring in. I know it was mentioned earlier.
Right.
Well, I mean, I can give you a breakdown for the first 3 months of the year right now for the departments. And that includes fire safety, code enforcement, zoning, and construction. For this month, or last month, remember, I'm always a month behind. That's what my wife tells me, too. It's $17,903. Year-to-date right now, $69,149. For the department. That's going to change considerably in June when the rental registrations go out. That'll bring in quite a bit of money. We do have some other construction permits that will be coming in shortly for some of the other larger projects in town.
Okay,
it changes month to month.
Right.
Okay, so I know you don't do like a real projection for another money making operation.
You know, somebody else asked me that question. And I won't tell you who it is.
Are we on target so that our revenue projections are roughly what it's been the last 2 years, 3 years?
Or looking at what's coming in and what's down the pike, I think that we're right in line with everything.
Okay.
Good. When's the last time we increased the rental registration fee?
That was before my time.
You know, I believe it was about 3 years ago. And
are we higher or lower than you are?
We are on the higher end of the comparison, but
you know, it's $100 for the building, $150 for each unit. That's
it's getting to be a bigger number every year.
And again, every one of the Mosaic, the Citizen, you know, that's $150 each one of those apartments. That every time one of those come online, that generates more rental registration money, which helps the town ultimately.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I mean, everything else is going up.
If I look at what other municipalities who do rental registration, we're on the high end right now.
Well, they want to be here.
Well, you don't want to be behind them. You want to always be ahead of the curve.
No, I'm saying
the cost of operations go up every year, so you got to keep up with it.
Yeah, which makes sense. So, I mean, if we can increase those, I mean, you know, developers are coming here for major tax breaks with opportunity zones and everything else, and if they're paying the bulk of it, I don't see why you wouldn't want
to. We could run a mid-year comparison to see where the other municipalities are currently at. That hasn't been done since the last time we raised
them. Yeah, take a look.
It's easy enough to do.
Good. Because listen, if anybody can name anything that they pay for on a regular basis that hasn't gone up in the last 3 years, I'd love to hear that list.
You also have to be careful because the state watches some of this too.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm not aware of the regulatory stuff, but I was just kind of curious.
All right, good. Okay. Any other questions? Anybody else?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for hanging out. We appreciate it.
Yes, of course. My name is Kevin McCartney. I'm Deputy Director for the Health Department. I have the opportunity to do a program coordinator and now Mansory, the newly promoted inspector for Mountain Brook.
Sure.
So I just want to give you guys a quick overview of what we're doing, and since this is our first meeting, trying to feel out what you guys as a board are looking for from us as far as a report. We do send a monthly report to you guys, basically outlining everything we did for the month between emergency preparedness, between consumer health. This is our monthly report here. So it's got all of your health inspection reports on here, all of your complaint reports on here, marked by address. We're always constantly tweaking this, trying to make this look a little bit better for everybody. As far as big picture items for the health department, what we're looking to do this year, we have a FAB accreditation, public health accreditation board. What that means for you guys as our governing body really is that we're looking for input from all of our key stakeholders. So we're going to be sending out surveys. You might have already seen it. If not, you'll probably be getting some. We're looking for board health members. We're looking for administrators. We're looking for mayor and council. So just your relationship with us and what we could be doing better and what you see as some of your priority areas in public health. So that's one thing that we are doing. We've noticed in the last year or so that we've had a lot of school nurses reaching out to us that they can't get their school children immunized because there is a set of, I believe, 15 vaccinations that school kids, school-age children need over the course of from infant to high school. So what we're looking into doing is procuring clinic space for ourselves right now. So we have a space identified. The nice part about it is that this is all grant-funded. The Vaccine for Children program, all the vaccines are given to us for free. I mean, we have to pay our nurses to do it. The other part about that's nice about the space that we have is that county transportation goes there. So if you have people that don't have a car in Mountain Brook or North Plainfield, they can get to the space. So we're in the early preliminary talks about that. Apart from that, we're hoping to be doing some screenings in that space. We recently procured with grant funds HbA1c machinery so that we can do testing for that cholesterol screening. We can do blood pressure screening. We can do lead screening for the children in this space. So we're looking forward to that.
We have a new database that Rashida and her group have been instrumental in implementing so far. We're about 50 to 60% there with the new vendor. What we like about this is that it's cloud-based and it's publicly outward-facing. So if you know that you're going out to dinner one night somewhere in one of our municipalities, you can say, hey, what was their last health inspection report? You can say, oh, I don't think I really want to eat there. Although all of our municipalities, we hold them to a high standard, so probably not an issue. So that's hopefully getting rolled out by the end of the year. We have, again, Yawa was recently promoted. We did backfill her position, so we're happy about that. And then just for you guys as a board, if you have any health education topics or if you have anything that you really want us to focus on throughout the year, please let us know. We can open up that line of communication if you guys haven't already done so. For example, recently we had a monkeypox campaign that we ran because we realized that we had a couple uptick in cases over the past 3 or 4 months with some cases around. So what we did is we ran a geo-mapping campaign at the Bridgewater sport, the Patriots arena. So what that is that anybody within a 20-square-mile radius was getting pushed to their phones that says, hey, if you have these symptoms, go get vaccinated, go speak with your primary care physician. So we have a lot of cool things at our disposal, but we just need some input sometimes from, each municipality has their own things that they want to focus on. The problems of Mount Brook are not necessarily the same problems as Franklin or Fitness or any or other towns. I think that's about it. Did you guys have anything? Cool. If you guys have any questions.
So, the inspector that covers Mount Brook.
Yes, yeah.
Nice to meet you. Is she in Mount Brook 1 hour a day? I mean, what kind of service or she just responds to complaints? Or?
I think so. The way that the contract is written is we typically, the bulk of her time goes to Mount Brook I don't know the exact breakout, but a much smaller portion goes to South Mount Brook. We have a lot of our inspectors broken out by program areas that make sense for us. Some towns like Franklin, we have like 3 inspectors for just because, it's 50, 60 square miles. Yeah. So for the most part, I would say 80% of your time, 90% of your time is probably in Mount Brook.
That's 5 days a week?
Yep.
And do you do both regular inspections and also you respond to complaints? Did that, would you get your complaints from the code?
Yes. Yep.
And then you, that's how that works.
And not just for property maintenance stuff. I mean, there's a lot of overlap between public health nuisance complaints and property maintenance complaints, but our office also has our CHOG group, which is your environmental folks. That's your air, noise, water, odor, pollution. That's out of our office.
Thank you. Anybody else have something? Anything? Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming out.
Thank you.
Is our recreation director?
I didn't prepare anything.
You don't need.
So I don't know what you guys
just give us a brief overview of what you got going and any issues you want to tell us that we.
Basically, we have soccer going on right now. We have 14 teams of soccer. We have 3 sessions of K through 1 on Saturdays, and it runs from March till June. And then we have baseball. We have 9 teams of baseball right now. We have 3 T-ball teams. We have 2 softball teams, and we have 4 of the regular baseball. This year we did opening day over in Somerville. We belong to a group called SBI, where we had our opening day over there as a group. It's probably about 250 kids, which was pretty great. We did miss having it here in Mount Brook, but we are hoping to have an end-of-the-year celebration and honor those kids that came out for that program. we're trying to get together teams and trying to figure out what we want to do for the Memorial Day parade coming up, trying to figure out if there's something else other than just walking in the parade, trying to get them to maybe decorate lights or helmets or bring something, you know, to the event. And then the other thing that we're working on is June 15th, Joyetta Clark Diggs is doing a family fun day here in town. That's sponsored by Middle Earth and Empower Somerset and Recreation. And hopefully it'll be a great event. They're expecting about 15 vendors to come, local Board of Ed, PTO, those kinds of things. And they're supposed to have a physical activity to do and a handout for the kids. Should be a fun day. It's from 11 to 1.
We get the approval.
We did get the approval. Yeah. There's a couple things I have to do, but yes.
All right. Anything else about flag football?
Oh, yeah. And then we're starting a flag football program. We have 75 participants already registered. Pretty excited about it. A lot of the kids are super excited about it. So right now we're starting off with clinics, and then hopefully we'll have a program in the fall. And Coach Boyevin is helping out with that and the football team. So it's hopefully going to be good for family football.
And coaching-wise, you're good staffing.
We actually had a lot of coaches come out.
Anybody have, and I think I spoke with Dale earlier, we're hoping at least a soft opening this year of the pool.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff to figure out before the pool opens, but I have been in contact with a guy from, it's called Pool Operation Management. He kind of helps me out with lifeguard staffing and how many people are to be in the pool at a certain time. He runs the programming for CPOs. So Dale and I are working with him to figure out logistics of that. And hopefully we can have lifeguards. That's going to be the problem, is that if we open in July, we hope that we can have lifeguards trained and ready to go. You know, it's mid-season and they're only going to work for a couple weeks because they go to college. But I'm sure we can get a couple to come out.
Are we moving forward with the South Pembroke shared service with the...
So that's a question for Jasmine.
Christine and I have been going back and forth. We actually set a time because we obviously missed this year's soccer league. And they are aware of it. So I just need to schedule a time for us to meet with her and kind of drill down on an agreement.
Okay. My questions were basically, are we consuming South Pembroke Recreation, or are we just partnering with them to have programming? Right now we charge a $15 out-of-town fee for anybody that participates in our programming. We're practicing on outfields and baseball diamonds and behind the softball field. Like, we don't really have a dedicated space for soccer. We have probably 245 kids involved in the program, and we're kind of scouring to figure out a place to play, especially since Patterson Park was closed to us this year. So that's definitely something that's needed as programs are getting bigger and bigger.
You mean to have access to the field?
To have access to the field and stuff. Would be something that if we had them come over, that we would have to make sure that we had space as well over there.
No, absolutely. And they are aware of what we are requesting. Mm-hmm. We just need to actually sit down and drill out the details.
Yeah. I just figured we'd share with everybody that is something that's in the works. Good stuff.
Yeah. And from what we understand, we were told they're basically doing away with their sports recreation department totally.
To my knowledge, she was let go with them.
Yeah, she went home. Yeah. All right, very good. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you very much for hanging out. We appreciate it.
Sorry, I'm dying.
Okay, that completes what department is. We'll go into now committee reports. the chairman of the finance committee. I think we covered all your councilman.
Everything
was covered. Check. All right, let's move on. Absolutely. Chairman of the Public Works, do you want to hit any your liaison committees?
Sure. Well, Public Works is just one of them. DPW is all their help with the battle and sound broke and cleaning up the town. So thank you to the team. So the Architectural Review Advisory Committee, we had our first meeting, right? I just said the last meeting, and we submitted a report. So the hearing that we prepared the report for is going to be heard on Thursday, April 25th. And I'll get to that when I come down to planning board. Cultural Arts Committee, I had a call with them last night. So my first call with them, so just trying to gather thoughts about their projects, their ideas, and they are, you know, what's their vision, you know, for the town in terms of cultural arts. They do want to do murals, more murals. I organized murals for Newark, three murals, so I have contacted that company and they will come to Mountbrook to do murals. So that's a pretty good connection, I think, in our quest for doing some murals in town. I'll provide more information on that as we progress. Library Board, we're still in the interim negotiations with the Archdiocese. I don't have
an update in executive session tonight.
Okay, we have an update in executive session this evening. I know that the engineer was reviewing the load-bearing capacity for books in the St. Joseph's Church. So maybe we'll hear more about that tonight. And work continues on the exterior and the HVAC.
Yeah, I gave them the green light to go into the building, do the school. And they were not going to do that. They said, yes, they were with
them. Okay. Okay, so that is. So we're still doing work on the library building.
Yes.
That's the point, I guess. Planning board, we have the Lopresti Clearview hearing on 425. That's this Thursday. That's 465 West Union Avenue. That's an apartment building proposal. And then there's just a couple other items on the agenda. New Verizon Properties, that's 227 Union Avenue. That's the Mountbrook America's Forest. And then Talmadge Urban Renewal at 336 Talmadge Avenue, also under review. Mountbrook Seniors Meeting, the Somerset Office of the Aging, came and presented to the seniors and left some handouts about, you know, being prepared for emergency medications and that sort of thing. And we're still looking for members.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions? We'll go down to Councilman Lopez on this committee.
Yes, let me start with the Historic Preservation Committee. I mean, the work is really slow because they have to prepare a lot of papers for applications to have a, you know, building, you know, declared as a historic patrimony. So they're working on two buildings that they want to preserve, and, you know, it's taking a lot of time. They meet once a month, every second Thursday, and as I said, they're working slowly but surely on submitting those applications. Regarding the Board of Ed, had the meeting last month for the preliminary budget. They presented the budget. Now next meeting will be next Monday, April 29, where they are hoping to approve the final budget. The operating budget is $49.6 million. There's an it includes expansions on curriculum, staffing, summer school, after school enrichment programs, some English as a second language. Improvements and expansion of the programs, some investments in capital projects like renovation of bathrooms in some elementary schools, windows, you know, all of these needs. It covers an increase, in very high increase in cost of especially transportation that went up big time. It also includes expanding career and technical education. They have very, very interesting programs like mechanical engineering, drone technicians, and also EMT and firefighter preparation programs that they are working on expanding. The budget comes in you know, under the 2% tax levy cap that, you know, the state imposes. It will result actually in a school tax decrease for residents. Average homeowner with a house value around $418,000 will see a tax decrease on the school portion for about $140 per year. And this is because possible because of the increase in the ratables, but also additional funding from the state. 16% increase from previous year, which is good. So that's how they, you know, they are able to do all of this without increasing the tax portion for the school. The tax levy will increase by $294,000 approximately, but the tax rate will decrease to 1.16% because of all of these income that they are having. So that's us for the Board of Ed. I will hopefully bring you the report after the budget is approved for next meeting. Finally, it's very short on the personnel because everything has been mentioned lately, but my other departments, but there's still a vacancy in the for a violations clerk. As Chief mentioned before, the resignation of one of the police department members, and we are working on the negotiations about with the PBA contract moving forward, hopefully, to have that finished very soon. That's all I have.
Very good. Any questions? If not, Chairman or Councilman Rossi, Chairman of Economic Development.
Yeah, that's what we did actually. That's a couple of things that I was going to talk to you about. The only thing that I really want to bring up as far as that is we have Redwood is the developer. They have two buildings that they want to do some sort of construction on that. And for Main Street and 500 East Main Street. We're still kind of in discussions with them on design and everything else that's not going to go to the planning board, but I believe they're going to come here and present to the council or to the public their ideas. I believe that's the next meeting. Is that correct? Did they get back to us yet?
I'm triple checked. He actually sent me an email this afternoon. No, they have not given us a date yet.
So, one of the upcoming meetings, they're going to be here and provide a presentation, so there's no, you know,
So do we have three projects before our financial advisor that we already attend, or two other?
Yeah, there's let's see, there's the first time, which is the one that's
going to be financial advisors. So right now the pilot applications before them is Meridian 10, Meridian 430, and Meridian 580.
So they're still with our financial advisor.
Correct.
And they've submitted their financial to our financial. So that's
their pilot applications for their projects, yes.
And they, there was information that was still needed. That's why the delay, because they went back and asked for more information.
Okay. Very good. Anybody have any questions for Chairman Ross? Councilman Garrett? A couple of them have been covered.
Yeah, I will. Got a report from our director of code enforcement, fire marshal, as well as representatives from the Board of Health, so that pretty much sums up a lot more than what I could have given. In regards to the Municipal Alliance and Youth Services Commission, I haven't had a meeting with them since our last virtual meeting, which was about a month and a half ago. And the Shade Tree Commission, we
Dale touched on the Arbor Day event. I was there alongside Councilman Lopez, Mayor Longo, who read the proclamation for the day, planted a tree, took some offerings home. I actually learned about a tree that was planted back in 2012 that traveled, the seed traveled, I don't know how many millions of miles in space, and Bound Brook actually won those seeds and planted it back in 2012. And so the prunings from that tree was what they gave out at the Arbor Day event. So that's pretty cool. So I have a new tree to plant at home. So does Mayor Longo and Councilman Lopez.
I can see where how big the one is.
Yeah, I hear, I hear it's been growing five times as fast. So that was pretty much it for me.
Questions? Very good. All right. We're going to get into some introduction of ordinances. First reading, 24-14, bond ordinance providing for various 2024 capital acquisitions and improvements by and in the borough of Bound Brook in the county of Somerset, state of New Jersey, appropriating $2,711,109. Therefore, authorizing the issuance of $1,709,496 in bonds or notes of the borough to finance part of the cost thereof. I need a motion to pass it for a public meeting on May 14th.
Second.
Second. Roll call.
Councilwoman Brinchovic.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
Councilman Rossi.
Yes.
Councilman Guerra.
Yes.
Councilman Morris.
Yes.
Very good. Ordinance 24-15, ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 29, Solid Waste Management of the Revised General Ordinance of the Borough of Bound Brook to exclude rooming houses from refuse collection. I need a motion to pass the first reading for a May 14th public hearing. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Brinchovic.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Ordinance 2024-16, ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 17, Property Maintenance of the Revised General Ordinance of the Borough of Bound Brook to require window treatment or screening on windows for commercial and retail businesses that are vacant, under construction, or not conducting business, whereby the interiors of such building can be observed from the public street or sidewalk. I need a motion for a to pass and have a public hearing on May 14th.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Brinchovic.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
Councilwoman Rossi. Councilman Guerra.
Yes.
Councilman Morris.
Yes.
Very good. That will pass for the public hearing. Now our some ordinances for final reading consideration, the second reading. Ordinance is 2024-02, an ordinance of the Municipal Council of the Borough of Bound Brook amending the amended redevelopment plan for redevelopment area 2 pursuant to NJSA 40:12A-1. I need a motion to open to the public for comment.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Anyone wish to comment on that? Hearing none, a motion closed.
Motion.
Second. I need a motion to pass the ordinance.
Motion.
Motion. A second.
Second.
Any discussion? If you didn't want to touch on the planning board.
The planning board voted unanimously in favor of this, that they want to put on master plan.
Very good. Roll call.
Councilwoman Brinchovic.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
Councilman Rossi.
Yes.
Councilman Guerra.
Yes.
Councilman Morris.
Yes.
Okay, 2024-12, an ordinance of the Municipal Council of the Borough of Bound Brook amending the amended redevelopment plan for redevelopment area 1 pursuant to NJSA 40A:12A-1. Need a motion to open for public comment. Second?
Second.
Anybody from the public wish to comment on this? Seeing none, a motion to close?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? So let's have a roll.
Again, this
planning board unanimously agreed and it aligned with the master plan.
Thank you. A roll call?
And a motion.
Motion. A motion to pass. A second?
Second.
Any discussion? Other than nothing. Okay, good. Roll call.
Councilwoman Vucevic?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
All right, 2024-13 ordinance replacing in its entirety Chapter 7 traffic. Section 7-13, parking prohibited for street cleaning of the revised general ordinance of the Borough of Bound Brook to amend the street sweeping schedule. Motion to open it for public comment?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Anyone from the public? Hearing none, a motion to close. Second?
Second.
I need a motion to pass the ordinance. Second?
Second.
Any discussion on this one? Daly did a good job. Linda, nice job. Something that's been, what, 12 years, 15 years, a million years, pending. It's a good start. It's a good start. No other discussion, and let's have a roll call.
Councilwoman Vucevic?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Very good. On the next resolutions. Anyone wish to pull any of the resolutions? None? Very good. Then we'll have a motion to...
Make a motion to pass 2024-09 through 2024-10.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. Any unfinished business? Anyone has? No? Any new business? Anybody wish to bring up?
Yeah, the only business I have is a question about the burned out building downtown. I get a lot of questions about that. Is it?
That was the Meridia 10, we just discussed
that. Oh, the Meridia 10? That, okay,
that's the Meridia 10.
I forget the numbers,
yes,
but they
yes.
are Meridia 1, Meridia 10. Okay, so that's in financial. Advisor.
Our financial advisor, yes.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Any other new business?
Yes, just a public announcement for members of the council on May 8th, Wednesday, May 8th, 6:30 p.m., we in Bound Brook are hosting the meeting for the Somerset County Governing Officials Association. I'm part of the board, and we will be hosting at the Columbia Steakhouse. So we would like to have full representation, you know, for the council since we're the host town. So Jasmine, you will need to let Jasmine know once the time is appropriate to get a PO. And it will be nice to have everybody because it's a bipartisan association for the whole county. So it's nice to have everybody there. Anybody else that could attend? Yeah. So Wednesday, May 8th. 6:30 p.m. at the Columbia
Steakhouse. We have the RSVP to Jasmine.
Yeah, once the announcement comes in, I'm telling you ahead of time because, I'm, you know, but yeah, it will like to, next week probably. You'll get an email and then you will.
Okay,
sure.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's approve some vouchers. 2024-123, a resolution approving vouchers in the amount of $668,884.05. A motion. Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Brinchevich?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Okay, we're open to the public for any comment. Yes, sir. Come on up. Yeah. Yeah. State your name for us.
Mark Sanfrance, I'm the owner of Pop's Bike Shop that was in town. We had a store here in Bound Brook, and we have one in Somerville. I'm actually just coming to follow up on, I came before the council a number of times over the last couple of years regarding an issue that we were having, and I just wanted to follow up a little bit with it because I think we finally have a little bit of resolution on it. Give you a little bit of background. I been selling bikes from Bound Brook since as far back as 84. Worked on the shop on Hamilton Street. I ran the bicycle department and established and ran it in Effingers until they closed. When they closed, I opened up my business in Bound Brook and 27 West Union, actually. I started coming before the council, I believe, in 2018. We were having an issue with, there was a business being run in town in a residential area that was affecting our business. And it just, competition doesn't scare us at all, but we just wanted a level playing field. I made numerous phone calls to the zoning board to say, hey, this guy's advertising, it's a significant issue. I had gotten complaints from some of the local neighbors because they thought we had something to do with it, nothing to do with it. To get a phone call back from the office was like pulling teeth. And I really didn't get any kind of feedback from them until I started coming to council meetings and raising the concerns about, hey, I'm a business owner in town. I'm employing kids from the high school. I'm employing other people. I'm putting money back into this town. And, you know, we would like somebody to take this seriously. And I had to keep, I couldn't get follow-ups. I had to come to another council meeting a couple of months later going, what's going on? This is continuing to happen. And I was told, well, we cited them. Like, and? So this went on from 2018 well into 2022. I brought numerous information about the advertising that was happening and the violations and the structures being built in the backyard. You name it, I provided all the information you possibly could. And I kind of got told, nothing we could do about it. Oh, we made an issue where we reported it to him and nothing was ever getting done. It was extremely frustrating. Fast forward to 2 weeks ago, I get a phone call from the father of the gentleman who lived at this residence. Unfortunately, the gentleman passed away in November, which I was very sorry to hear, and I offer my condolences to them. But he kind of was like, yeah, we need to get rid of the rest of this business, which kind of struck me as funny. But we went over, and I said, let me meet with you. We went over. There's still a basement loaded with bicycles. And I raised concerns that not only I'm in the bike industry for 40 years. I can't imagine where you get this many used bikes. And I said, hey, is somebody looking into where these things are coming from? I'm not trying to accuse anybody, but is this stuff stolen? Is this stuff, where is it coming from? So Norman met with me. Again, offered my condolences. Norman was saying, hey, we need to get rid of the stuff. We already sold off all the wood business, so he had another business going on there, too. We got to get rid of the rest of this stuff. And he kind of told me the story about how when the bike guy was selling bikes, he was doing $8,000 to $12,000 a weekend on a good weekend. And the guy that he was employing, Victor, was still helping them selling some of these bikes now that he had passed away. And this is just ridiculous. You know, as a business owner, we had a lot of, at one point I actually got cited because my open sign was blinking on 227. I got cited for that. And I could not understand why in God's name nothing could get done. And nobody can give me a reason. And there was no follow-up whatsoever. At this meeting, I come to find out that the gentleman's wife works for the Somerset County DA. So my question becomes, was this a horrible lack of enforcement on the part of this town zoning board officer, or was it something else? It's frustrating, to say the least. I'm no longer in town. When the florist, who is my landlord, sold, I had an opportunity to stay here, do a lease with them, stay in the building. This is not the only issue that I had, but there were a few other ones, but this didn't help any. I pulled out. I had my other store in Somerville. Okay. And I got to tell you, one of the things that I was hearing Natalie speak about, because I worked with Natalie in DSA there, if you want to revitalize, because I've been hearing since literally I came back to Bound Brook in 2005 with Effingers about how Main Street's going to get revitalized and Main Street's going to do this and Main Street, nothing has changed in 19 years. That bank is an eyesore that's still sitting there. Nothing is getting done. I was around in Somerville when Somerville was bad in 99 and 2000. It was bad. Somerville is an amazing town. I'm very, very happy. My business is there. Natalie did phenomenal work. I'm hoping Natalie can do here what she did in Somerville because it was amazing. It is amazing. I will point out, again, going back to zoning, as I was driving in today, I came down Main Street, and I was around in Main Street in 84 when Luzanne's was here, and Berman's, and Wendell's, and all that stuff, and the Harley-Davidson store, and everything was there. You drive down now, and it's peeling paint. It's signage that's really, really bad. It's bad. Start enforcing the codes. You guys, it's been 20 years. Nothing has changed on Main Street. It's a disaster. If you want to make a change, give her some power and get something done. And you can have Somerville here. But it's been 19 years. Something going to get done or not? It's up to you guys. I have an issue with the code enforcement. I'm not trying to make accusations or anything, but it didn't help. And it helped me make my decision to move out of town, which kills me because I have been selling bikes in this town since 1984. And I pulled out. And I'm looking to reopen my second location. And I'm looking at Middlesex and Piscataway. Because why not? So I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of feedback. It's been 4 very frustrating years trying to deal with whoever was in charge of this. And I think that I would recommend somebody needs to do a little bit of a look into what's going on. I don't know if there's a new gentleman in the zoning. Something's got to get done. Because the thing I got out of it is we're going to write the summons, and if you just are connected enough or you just ignore us enough, big deal. Nothing's going to happen.
What is the property that you're referring to?
257 West Maple. And literally,
I think we actually passed something. Was this this year or last year where, like, yeah, starting to basically say you can't operate a business in like that?
I've been told by Norman, nothing for nothing, because I made him an offer. I was like, I will get you out of the bike business right now. Because we work very closely with RideWise in Somerville, who helps supply needed bicycles to needy people. And I said, I will get you out of the bike business. You got 63 bikes. I can have them out of here by the weekend. I have enough staff to do it. I have storage. I can have everything. And I reached out to Katie at RideWise, and I said, I think I'm going to be able to solve every bike request that you have right now. And I went to him with very detailed information. I've been in the bike industry for over 40 years. I said, this is what your stuff is worth, man. You got a bunch of old bikes here. This is the stuff that Tim could not sell. It's still, and nothing for nothing, Ellen seems like a very, very sweet lady, and she wants it done. Norman did not feel like I was giving him fair market value, and he was very clear about the fact that he will get rid of them at much better prices than what I offered him. And if that's going to be putting them out on the front lawn or continue to advertise, because Tim is still up on Marketplace, there is a ton of Marketplace ads under Tim's domain with bikes for sale. I gave him an ad. That basement is it's a bike shop inside. He's got more used to bikes than I do, and I'm in business. Not to mention all the parts, all the repair stands. Vincent still helping. I don't know who Vincent is, but has Vincent been paid workman's comp? Has he been paying taxes? I had to pay taxes. I have to pay workman's comp. I have to do all that stuff. And Norman told me, he goes, yeah, we thought about opening a shop in town, but man, rent and stuff like that is just really expensive. No kidding. No kidding. So she's still got, as of 2 weeks ago, there's still 63 bikes. I can give you a list of every bike that's in that basement. Plus a pile of parts, plus all the tools. And there is still a business going on there, whether you want to believe it or not. Anybody going to do anything about it?
Well, let me just say, number one, the new head of code enforcement wasn't the code enforcement official.
I didn't recognize him, so that's why.
So we can't really speak of what went on back then and why he didn't. He can't really answer that question. But I can tell you that our new code enforcement officer is on top of things. Certainly, he's got to abide by the laws. I mean, we can't just storm the door because we got to report that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also handcuffed with the courts. Like, we can give summonses and they could not show up and it gets dismissed, and that we're fighting that issue. But what I can say is there is a lot of new stuff going on downtown. I disagree with what we said. There's nothing going on down there.
I'm not saying there's nothing going on.
And you could be one of the men.
For you to drag me back into Downbrook at this point would take a huge undertaking.
Well,
because I just
gonna,
feel
we're
right.
We're going to set you up with Natalie. And Natalie is going to convince you to come to
Natalie is definitely a very committed person who can sway you. But I mean, I was in town when
everything we can to
from the time that I opened up my shop in 2017, and we've done everything. And I'm not. And one of the questions I did have was last year through RideWise, and we donated two bicycle racks to the RideWise program. One of them was from a contest that was run in Raritan. The other one was I said that I would like to donate one for Smalley School. In honor of my mom was born and raised in Boundbrook along with her eight brothers and sisters. And the Perrone family was the Perrone family in Boundbrook. And I said I wanted to donate a bike rack that was badly needed in Smalley School, and I would have liked to be able to dedicate it to my mom and have something on it. I still can't find out if it was picked up by Public Works last year. And I understood it was near the end of the year. And to put it in the middle of the winter was just a nightmare. Do you know if it was ever?
That wasn't picked up by me, but I picked it up on school. The school bag.
So I donated an $800 bike rack.
Yeah.
And it's nice weather now. Kids can start riding bikes to school.
Well, I mean, I'll follow up to make sure they got it and they're utilizing it.
I called Katie at RideWise. I said, could somebody come and please get this? The thing weighs like 150 pounds. They have it, yeah. No, I don't. I gave it to somebody. The town came over and picked it up. Yeah, maybe they picked it up or something. But, and I would like to get it installed so the kids can use it. And I'd like to be able to be there and honor my mom. You know, but when I see stuff like this over and over again, I was very instrumental in bringing the bike race from the Tour of Somerville series. You can ask her what Tour of Somerville does for Somerville. And we did the Tour of Somerville. It was part of the Tour of Somerville race. It was on Sunday. And we did it for 2 years. And Mayor Faison blew that one out. But, like, I've tried to... Yep. I've tried tons of stuff to work with this town. Tons. And then when a business owner is trying to invest in the community they're in, and it comes to the council and expresses a concern for 4 years running, it's kind of mind-blowing. Like, why would I want to get back into that?
All right, so all I can tell you is this. We appreciate you coming out. All those names you've named are no longer here, and we can guarantee you a different level of service here. That's my promise.
She knows where to find me.
Natalie,
I know, that's what I'm concerned about. But
thank you very much. And you feel
thank
free
you for your
to
time.
Questions.
I appreciate
it. Ms. McCoy here, our administrator.
And I would love to. I'm not looking to jack up Ellen. She seems like a very nice lady. She's going through a hard time. Look, enough is enough.
Right. And we'll.
I thought we passed something.
I thought
we had. In
he's still got a bunch of wood planking in the backyard. There's still a bunch of bikes in the backyard. There's 63 bikes in the basement and everything else. I mean, he's passed now. I mean, you know, Tim is gone. She doesn't want to continue, but, you know, they had an out. They didn't take it. They're going to continue to do it.
All right. Her code enforcement officer has been duly noted.
Cool. Thank you guys very much. Have a good night.
Thank you. You were down at Hamilton. I probably bought a bike there when I was a kid.
Thank you.
And
And when I went into your shop to get something for my colors or the knee brace, whatever the word is, somehow I walked out of my head.
In Hamilton? Or at the, okay. Hamilton. Okay. Well, thank you. Do you remember the young skinny kid that worked there? Well, there was an old guy that ran it, and there was a skinny young kid. Yeah, that was me. I ate him. So. That was me. Sam actually, Sam was a great guy. He just passed away about a year and a half ago. He was a great guy. Me too. I loved it. I drive by there often, but that was a cool place. So,
thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, I need a motion to go into executive session.
Motion.
You second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're going into executive session. I don't believe they'll come out and vote on anything. Motion to, while Sean is on fly there, motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second?
Second. You want to talk to the major on the finance chairperson?